Yo, man, it's your man, Mo Morris. And welcome to Strictly for the Brothers. You know, brothers, we're going to come up against it sometimes. Like, I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. I mean, sometimes, man, you're going to come up against it. You ain't did nothing wrong. You ain't smacked the dog. You ain't cussed your girl out. You ain't disrespected your mama. And sometimes you just going to have something that just fall up against you, bruh. It happens. It happens. But you got to be strong enough brothers, define strength in your mind. What is it to be strong in your mind? What defines strength? What is strength to you, brother? What is strength? How do you show that you are strong? Is it a physical strength? Yes. But one thing that we don't consider strong is the thing that needs to be strong is our mind. And yeah, when you're a grown man, you understand that. But imagine if you begin to understand that when you were younger, how powerful your mind is. And if our children don't understand that, our children don't understand that because we have not taught that. If our children are ignorant, our children are ignorant because of what they have not learned, which means what we have not taught them. That's the only reason why we can say our children are ignorant. Our children are ignorant because of lackluster teachers. And I ain't talking about the class. I ain't talking about school. I'm talking about men. So, we run around here and we foam at the mouth and we crying, talking about women don't respect us and we need a woman to submit to us and all this, that, and the third. And I hear that, brother. I hear that. But man, our focus is wrong right now, bros. I ain't in the room talking about, we don't need to be dating no woman and keep your money in your pocket. I ain't in the room talking about that. I was saying that before it got popular. I don't believe no woman that I don't know deserves my money. I've been said that. The dating scene years ago was getting on my nerves. I'm asking a sister why she can't take me out. It's like, you hear that what somebody can, what amazes me? When a woman tells a man what a man is supposed to do, right? I've been there. I get it. But you know what? I ain't even focused on that, G. And you shouldn't be focused on that either. The reason that we so focused into women, because we love women. We love women. We supposed to love the black woman. We supposed to love her. We supposed to love women, man. Don't get the game twisted. But you're supposed to have an understanding of women. Women are supposed to be in a category over there, man. When it comes to your life, G, the life that you want to live is the life that you have to build, family. We got too many brothers that's focused on what women talking about. I'm going to say that straight up and down, man. I'm on this Facebook purge and this internet purge and all that. I'm tired of hearing niggas talk, y'all. I'm gonna keep it 100. What's the brother name? Charleston White. I like Charleston White. And the reason I like Charleston White, because he tells the truth, right? But I don't like how I believe black people are arguing with each other too much. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like black people are arguing with each other too much, especially with all the needs that we have in our community. And individuals who have reached a level of success, who have exposure, who have a platform, who have a voice. What are you going to do with that mic, man? What are you going to do with that platform? Do black folks really need to hear black folks talking about black folks any longer, man? Like I said, I like Charleston White. And I like how he be calling out the homies. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, man, if you a homie, you know what I'm saying? If you a homie, bro, and the thing is, he didn't grow up around homies. Man, you ain't supposed to come at the homies like that. Not if you from the hood. You could be mad at their behavior and all this, that, and the third, but if you from the hood, man, you know why homies acting like that. You understand? You know why the homies acting like that. You know why the homies gangbanging. You know why the homies selling drugs. You know why the homies don't go to school. You know if you're a homie. Man, look, man, I have reached the point, man, where I am not engaging that anymore. That ain't serving nobody. That ain't serving, man. We got a community. I'm talking to men here. I am talking to men. We have a community, our community. Black man, the black community is our community. Black man, you want some ownership? Turn around and own your community. You know, we walk around here, black folks ain't got no businesses. You know, we always talking about what black folks don't have. But let me tell you this, family. Let me tell you this, man, and hear me when I say this. Black man, if you want to own something, if you got children you're not talking to, then go own your fatherhood. Black man, if you want to own something and you need to finish off your high school diploma, you need to finish off your college degree, go own that situation and finish up, man, and do your best. But we got to quit going around here. Black man, you want to know why the black community is in such a hustle and a fuss and so much challenge? Because we are in such a hustle and a fuss and a challenge. See, black man, you got to sit up there and you got to own it all the way through. You got to own it all the way through. If we can run around here talking about the black community is the way it is because the black man not in place, then we need to address why the black man not in place. Black man, we shouldn't be sitting up here arguing with no sisters about male toxic being male, about my maleness being toxic. Hey man, praise God. If somebody want to say masculinity is toxic, praise God. Who cares? I for damn sure ain't about to sit up here and be getting into no debate about masculinity with somebody that's not a male. You understand what I'm saying? Just like I can't sit up here, how in God's name can I look a woman in the face and say, you know what? Your femininity is toxic. Come on, man. Really? Who cares? Okay, great. Praise God. But black man, we can turn around and look each other in the face and talk about some of our toxic behavior. We can check ourselves. We can check our sons. We can check our cousins. We can check our nephews. But you got to be willing to give the energy to the people. See, black man, we a lot of us, man, a lot of us, it's not even that you don't care. A lot of us didn't learn how to. A few of us didn't learn how to. You understand what I'm saying? But that's not an excuse, y'all. It's a fact. It's a fact, but it's not an excuse. If you are a provider, if you're a good father, you know, you'll break that bread and you'll have that money. But what if you're poor? You're a poor father when it comes to spending time with your child. You might feel like being a father to you is providing and paying for stuff and working hard. And you might not see the fatherhood side of it by spending time with your child and imparting wisdom in your child and talking with your child and making your child laugh and cooking breakfast for your child. You might not click with that because that wasn't done for you, but that don't mean that you can't learn how to do it. But see, that take energy. That take want to. You got to want to do that. You got to want to do that, man. You got to want to spend time with your child. You got to want to improve as a father. You got to want to do that. And the thing is, brothers, some of us just not going to just straight off the top. If you've been living one way and you see that you got to change your way, hey, man, we get selfish. We get selfish because some of us feel we operating from an unfair situation anyway. So we doing what we do. We doing what we supposed to do, but we not doing what we want to do because that situation don't make us feel a certain way. See, brothers, we are very emotional. You know, we won't admit it in public how emotional we are, because somebody told us that that's the third sin from the right if you emotional as a man. It is true. Men don't operate well when they get caught up in their emotions. But guess what, y'all? Nobody operates well when they get caught up in their emotions. It ain't just that men don't operate well when they caught up in their emotions. No one operates well when they're caught up in their emotions. No one. So we need to avoid getting so emotional. But it's okay if you emotional. That needs to be addressed. That doesn't mean you're the worst person on the planet. You know, brothers, we got to get this thing out of our mind how bad we are. Black man, you are not negative. Black man, you are not bad. Black man, you are a winner. Black man, you are great. Black man, you got an opportunity each and every day to get up and go get it. And brothers, we got to stop believing that because we are without something, we can't be something. Hey, man, I'm sorry, bros, if your dad is not in your life. Hey, man, that's a tough one. But that is not an excuse for you to build a terrible life. That is not an excuse for you to become a criminal. It's not, y'all. That is not an excuse for you to be a poor student. Hey, y'all, you dealing with your life. This is your life. You are in charge. You the daddy of your life. And you'd be like, well, man, Big Mo, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Okay, I understand that. First of all, let's get out of this helpless mode. You know, I learned something recently, man. You know how you know something, but then you, when you hear it put the words, you're like, yeah. Hey, man, recently I learned that helplessness is a learned skill. Helplessness is a learned skill. And you got to ask yourself, are you skilled in feeling and being helpless? That's a game, G. That's a mental game. A mental game, family. A mental game that's ran on people. I was this study. It was a study about helplessness. It was this dog, a nail, and a piece of meat, right? So they would put this dog in this glass box where it was two boxes. It was one box had a stake in it. The other box had a nail in front of the stake, and the dog was in that box. So the dog would throw himself at the glass to get the stake and would hit the nail, and it would puncture his nose. So the dog, one day the dog just kept trying to get to that because he was hungry. So the dog just kept trying to get to that meat and kept running into the nail. So he got in there the next day. They did it again the next day with another. They did it again the next day. Dog did it a couple times, but that nail was wearing him out. Right? Then they did it the next day. This time, family, this the third day. This time they removed the nail and put the meat in the same box with the dog. I'm sorry, they put the boxes next to each other. This time there was no wall up. There was no nail up. It was just the meat sitting there in one box that the dog could walk into, but the dog was in the other box. And you know that dog didn't get up and go over there and eat that meat? Because the dog felt he was helpless. The dog felt that nail was going to still be in it. That nail was going to bust him in the nose again. Didn't even look over there no more because he was that pain. The pain changed the dog. The dog was hungry now and had to go through some pain. But then he associated pain with trying to get to that meat. So even though the dog was hungry, he no longer wanted that meat because he didn't want to go through the pain. So the dog chose to be helpless. Right? Right? Then they did another study. They had this mouse. Right? And they put this mouse in a box with cheese. So for 2-3 days, they just put this mouse in this box with cheese. And the mouse was just smashing the cheese. It was just a happy mouse, right? So then, like on the fourth day, they put the mouse in the same box, but in the box they had these different tunnels. They had four small tunnels, right? So they put the mouse in the box. The mouse didn't see the cheese. So then they had put the cheese in front of the fourth tunnel, which was the one that was farthest from the mouse. So the mouse went smelling around and found the cheese, right? And smashed that cheese. The next day, they put the cheese all the way back in the third tunnel. So when the mouse got in there, he didn't see the cheese out and about. And so then he went to the fourth tunnel, didn't see the cheese. Then he started sniffing around. And then he got in that third tunnel and found that cheese, right? The next day, he put him in there. They put the cheese in the first tunnel, sniffed around, didn't find it at first, went down the third tube, came out, went sniffing, found that scent in that first tube, went down that first tube and found that cheese. See, that mouse wasn't helpless. That mouse used his senses. He used what was available to him to find his food. So he had to use his sense of smell to find his food. And when he got acting, he didn't stand in one spot and sniff. You know, he sniffed and he'll look around and he'll move around and he'll go, what's this place? And he'll sniff down there. He didn't find it. Then he'll go down there, sniff down there. Oh, that's where it is. But see, the mouse was different than the dog. One, he didn't have the challenge that the dog had with the nail, right? He didn't. But see, the dog had sight. The dog could see the meat, right? But what the dog didn't pay attention to was the nail. And after two or three times of hitting that nail, it's time to go a different way. But see, a dog is a dog. A dog don't have the mind of a human. The dog don't have the will of a human. The dog don't have the ability to figure out and problem solve like a human. Some dogs are smarter than others. But in that situation, that dog chose to be helpless. It was a choice. The mouse could have chose to be helpless. He got put in the same box. The cheese was gone. They could have stayed right there in that one spot and waited for the cheese to come. But the mouse didn't do that. The mouse focused on the fact that the mouse was hungry. So he focused on his senses, the things that could help him get something to eat. So the mouse decided to depend on itself and use its resources, use his senses, find a way to find that food. That's what the mouse did. Brothers, we got to do the same thing. We got to use our senses. We have to use what's available to us. Right? You know, they say a lot of brothers that can't read well and do math well by the third grade choose to become criminals, right? But I would ask the question, and I'm going to ask this question. You think about these young men who, you know, who don't read too well, that gravitated towards the street, you know, and you got to learn the street, y'all. The street has to be taught to you. And you got to pay attention to the lessons or you're going to lose. And I guarantee you this, when it comes to the street and you learning it and you getting out there in it, I bet you ask questions. I bet you ask questions and try to find out the right way to do it and how it's expected. And if you don't get it, I guarantee you, you ask questions. Because if you make a mistake in the street, that can be your life, right? So I ask this question to the street homies. And I ask you to ask the street homies that. You might have a nephew, a son, that cousin, little brother that's out here in these streets going to get it. And the reason they're in the streets going to get it, because they don't feel that school and education can help them be successful. So I want you to ask this question. Why is it that you can ask questions to understand what you need to do in the street, but you couldn't ask questions in school? Why is it that you couldn't go to a school teacher and ask him or her to help you? Because you out here in the street asking these cats to help you. You know, we can't allow people to be helpless. A lot of people drifted to the street because they felt helpless. They felt helpless when it came to their education. And why are they feeling helpless when it comes to their education? Because they don't feel like they're in control of their education. So they feel helpless when it comes to their education. But you in charge of your education. And if we start encouraging and challenging people with that, you're in control of it. You're responsible. You're responsible. You're responsible. If we start challenging people with that fact, what we'll be doing is we'll be helping individuals to avoid the spirit of helplessness. And that is what we're here to do. We're here to provide strength and guidance to our people, strength and guidance to our family, strength and guidance to ourselves. And brothers, when we begin to do that, when we begin to become more helpful, people will feel less helpless. Peace. I'm your man, Mo Morris, and thank you for listening to Strictly for the Brothers. Peace. What up, Chicago?